to her daily diet, that she has to go out and try to gather. And she feels that if that happens, when it happened, that her grandchildren could no longer subsist on that native land, and because of its size, then she feels very sad about it.
Actually, Dawatan takkatki Tuthan katamakut taknarogaskunang anglikunang Nunnautaiskunang asmig bimhnak Attautimaktaumakui nunnautumnak Hantiruiskamnak pikkapasmnak Kayo kayo ktsikat, asogut ng waslo. At tawtsik lukutaw kam, pikat kutaw man na nunabot kitugus katko. Tawa kuya naksaktok tamako nun. Kingo mga makutiyok tsikit pilguiz ngot. Tamatum nasinun siko nun. Akhirti matikot. Билгүлгөө тамаакут кингуум гиохтсхит тутхаах камалгуу кууани халуу тугаахка тамааттумун симманриттук каю хаюутсеқар тамаана таат наёққан аттаутсерлуку игунун таммаитнун нунаклиуллуку пинерискатху
She also further state that if that is how we are going to be, how we are going to live, and if that is how the things are going to be, she questions how are my children gonna live on that native allotment? Will they fight each other? Will they live in harmony? And what would happen to their children? They're not enrolled in this claims act. How will they live? What are they gonna do when they lose that right to go on there, go out and hunt and subsist in that land that she feels very precious to her.
Tamuk takuam tawa kanagasugay nakto. Tamanis lang sumni tawatin. Iyaw tayo kunrilata. Nunnautum qarlutung ayoqsuunrilaata tammaani tawarpeq attautsimak tawa ayoqlutung tamarmang nunnautung qarlutung saliikaasuullutung tamarmang attautsiungamang tawa attautsimak tawarpeq nunnautung qarlutung attautsitunsu ayoqlutung ikaasuullutung imkut tawa iullhut tammaanitsaangallumni Tikirtuullutung pitaarramarnak tuatni aminarifkunaakilaatung ikaasurluukki pillguilnguullumakut ikaasurluukki kuan maaqaunawani slaangallumniwin qanriitsaaqoqneq kaitneriittoq pujurtivvaaneq kamuk imirtoq tang khamki tamaakut ikaasuullutung kiagilriit pitaaqqamangtawa tikirtuullukki tamaakut pistaalnguullu pillaamartukki Wattawattawat na yoqnerhtukut maamaani ilaapputaorpeaq tamuk pitangramta tawarpeaq ilaapput nasuunnguanglukki tikinrerluukki pitamutnak tawat na yoqlertuukut tawarpeaq ikaasuutnerirlutaarlu watin katorluta ilamutnun ikaasuutnerirluta тавахпек таку тайуха тасуксагуулуги илаапу таёксилгаакут ваттава илаалиогутнигэрлуута илаакнгаамтанак мен тавахпек умиагулуута таваатн кангватун аттаутимак ватн нунаалерлуута асииккумта аттаам таима тамаана утэрмун аёксириааллилгаакку таима уаниква манна нуна аттаутсерлуку ыленкумта.
She further states that her reason for making statement is clear, that she feels for her children and the grandchildren that will be in her grandchildren. She also said that perhaps there is a solution to all of this problem, and that would be that villages who are tribes who are together and have been in many years known each other, that they can work out something that we can all live with. And she said that when she was growing up, her mother was not married, her grandmother was not married, and she was living with her. She used to have a smokehouse full of fish and some other eatable things. And when people are hungry and they have a poor season, she would go out and give these people food to eat. Now, this is something that we all feel that we know we always need. Giving food to people when others are not very, especially people that are handicapped and cannot go out to food gathering or do physical work. These people, I feel and she feel that there is a need to go back to that sense of unity. We should help each other out. Today in the villages, sometimes we feel that our first cousin or our uncle or aunt, we feel that we don't want to talk to them because then we don't have much to say, because we feel jealous toward them. We feel that we don't need to see them, because there are a lot of problems surrounding that time. She feels that the villages should compromise and there that need to work things out, start being brothers and sisters and uncles and aunts and whatever you have in the family.
Татамуктоа канарсугуинартоа чапихнгам кимакутмаани лафкамак канаакэн лафк макуунэ лафканэк акингсаарлангэрма фудстампангсаарлангэрмалу атам акиттуакка тамаани лафками кэммугут чапиран катамаакутуи кипуутлэркайт тават намагмааккын юлхкумак чанак нэрнэрлартукут талиуи арнаангама хантирақлаа тамаакут чапихнгам киллаафкамак кипорлеркайт Noksuglama tamakunun aking langrama food stamp langrama so akito aka mangiyok katsali magut aksut mani tat atoksuk ngaput namilwani tsali tamakut akitulutang tamakunag tamakiput sakaka tsapira kawi tao magtawa kanagsukta tamariyon rita kamana nunavut tamakut nakakat tamariyon rilam ki tsapir ngam ki lafka magkiput sakakay tawa tao mag kanaginakta uko nagsu irinam nag kayo-kayo sakakay nag toko yan awanika tao mag kanakta
she answered statement by saying that she has gone out subsistence because she cannot afford to go to the AC or native store because the price of the food are very expensive or very high. And the reason why she does it because she's getting a very limited income, where three-fourths of her, probably half or three-fourths of her her income goes to the store, and she supplements it by hunting and fishing because that's the only thing that she knows that could work. And she also stated that she would like to, reason why she spoke was because her concern for her grandchildren, her concern for her fellow natives, her concern for the future of her, of for the future. And that's it.
Thank you, ma'am. Well, it's 1 o'clock, and I think everybody agrees this would be a good time to break for lunch. Suppose we come back here at 2? Well, let's aim for 2 o'clock, and we'll return at 2 o'clock, and we'll carry on until 5, and sooner or later we'll have to stop, but we'll be back at 2. I hope everybody had a good lunch, and we'll call the meeting to order and invite people to speak this afternoon. I know some of you are going out after those geese, but we're going to be here for a little while longer, and if anybody wants to speak, this is the opportunity.
Kit Berger, I'm George Dan, I'm from Stebbins. I grew up in Stebbins all my life, and one time I went out just when I go to work and when I was in the army. And those days, people were happy. They are governed by a tribal government called IRA Council. After I was in the army, I started involved with them, become one of the IRA board, and learn about leadership too. And people were happy, they never have to complain about their land. And back in 1971, I see land claim, what they call LANSCA, land claim settlement. I thought, I didn't understand what that land claim settlement was. I thought it just for land, give it back to natives to what they're entitled to. And I learned a lot about it since then. And I see land claim settlement did not slow native about land and being native. The natives were separated. Natives separated from native. And that they call them newborn or afterborn natives. They have no shares, or they're not stockholders. I think that was a bad part of the land claim settlement. Natives separated from natives. I suppose it is the same with Indians and same with Aleuts too. They call them afterborn. In my time when I was young, when Eskimo baby born, he's a Eskimo. He's got the same share, same entitled to what other natives have in our community. Now they're not titled to shareholders or stockholders just because they were born after, in 1971. And another one, I didn't like the land get titled to called corporation. Native corporation entitled to the land instead of IRA. Now they are threatened. 1991, city, state organized government will start taxing property tax on this land. When I was young, when IRA council managed the land, the natives, Eskimos, they build their house wherever they place. But now I see it, they have to ask corporation where they can build a house. And they mark 60 by 100 a lot for them. But they will be taxed after 1991, called property tax. Back in the 60s, I believe, I attended land meeting at Kotzebue. I asked BIEs if they could go over to Stebbins and to have a townsite survey. And they did. And that summer they came and they make townsite survey. Those house already there, they are get surveyed and they get a lot. So I had house that time. So this piece of land is mine. It's mine now. So as others that they have home property at 1960, I believe. Those people already got that land, and that time they will not be taxed. That piece of land that's their own. I guess they're lucky they were already have their property built it on this place. Now the natives I'm going to start losing land. The outside buyers, they're going to start buying the land. And they're going to lose the land because some corporations are unfortunately to make profit. They won't be able to pay taxes after 1991. And maybe state or government will start taxing this land, and they're going to lose that piece of land, and they'll be starting restriction, and then little by little they're going to run out of land. And land claim settlement, I see people already have property. They only got 6 inches of surface land in their land. Subsurface, it either belong to government or state. I think that's a very bad settlement about that too. What that settlement should be, the land included subsurface. And the two worst settlement and land claim settlement I see it. A few years back, I was in IA Council. We filed suit against oil drilling in our Northern Sound water. So I find out Gamble also filed suit against oil drilling. I think they didn't. We didn't stop it. I never heard so much about it since then. It might still be on pending. So, reason we filed suit to protect our sea mammals. Might scare them off, and oil spills will start killing waterfowls. Because we're a subsistence user in Stebbins. We hunt all the time, year round. So, to me, if this land, the claim settlement, turn over to IRE Council to manage the land, it'll be better. To me, it's going to be better than managed by corporations. I don't know how people feel about it, but that's my feeling. So, so they wouldn't lose ground to hunt. And when IRA controlled the land, the outsiders cannot buy it. It was a good management like that. The natives built camps wherever they wanted to. They hunt where they want to hunt. But if they start selling it to outsiders or Japanese, and they put restriction after they buy it, like no hunting area, no fishing area. It's going to hurt natives. And little by little, it's going to lose the land, and pretty soon, they're going to run out of land and put it away someplace, I guess, if they run out of their land. So these two parts, I didn't like about the land claim settlement. Even the land claim settlement, people did not get rich. They only got a little bit of money in the first 2 years after land claim settlement. So nobody get rich, only don't get money. Money happy is possibly executive boards of corporations, not the rest. And they never find out money they manage, how much they lose. Only after they lose, they find out they lose this much a year. So before they know it, they're going to run out of that money. The way they're spending it in some places. And they're going to, shareholders going to wake up with no money, just broke. And another thing, after 1991, what I hear, state will drop our welfare and social security. And I don't know if it's true or not, but that's the rumor I hear. So those things I didn't like it, so I just have to say it to somebody that can listen. That's all I have right now. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
My name is Ambrose Oakley, Sr., and I'm from St. Michael. I got a speech to have to say. My name is, we the native people of Alaska should make a will for your lot and claim before it's too late. So you'll have papers to show on 1991. There will be people coming from foreign United States and from Alaska if you don't do so. They might even let you get drunk and buy your land from you. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
My name is Thomas Henry, and I'm a high school student from Stevens. As a shareholder, I realize I have many important decisions to make over the next few years. I am concerned with my future, that of my family, friends, and all Alaska Natives. Knowledge is indeed power. I wish to thank you, Judge Berger, for providing this hearing in which I have been able to hear the various views and concerns of my fellow people. This type of exchange is vital if we are to make the correct decisions in the future. I feel better prepared to make these decisions and to inform my friends of the serious issues involved. Lastly, I am concerned that of my younger brothers and sisters do not have the same voting interests as shareholders, therefore rights to the land. Again, I thank you, Judge Berger, and all participants of the hearing.
Thank you.
My name is Charlie Blatchford. I recently moved up here to Unalakleet about a year and a half ago. Born in Gullivan. My father was half Inukbak, half English. My mother was half Swedish, half Inukbak. I moved from this country back in 1949 down to Homer, Alaska, after my father and brother were lost out in Gullivan Bay. And like I say, I'm just recently returned to my roots. One of my main concerns in coming here to this meeting is the 3,300 individuals that have filed for native allotments prior to 1971 and are in the process yet of still fighting for those rights, some for 38 and 40 years. Before the land claims, the native allotments were, and they were promised us, and this promise hasn't been kept. Excuse me. If I sound like I'm angry and on the defensive, perhaps I am. There's no doubt in my mind that I am. And you will have to excuse me for that anger. The Trail of Tears started in Florida and was finally settled in Oklahoma, so history has thus been written. Like other recorded events, history as written belongs in the great dung heap. The Trail of Tears started when the first civilized man stumbled upon a land already discovered, and continued to this day, the trail of tears still flows. In my short life, I have seen injustices against my people, injustices which you cannot comprehend, nor will you make an honest effort to accept us as a people, nor as a formality just accept. You turn your eyes to the points of the compass, looking for and identifying to your own justification the great holocaust of the world, while under your feet the blood of our people have joined with Mother Earth, absorbed and no longer visible. Whole cultures of the North American peoples have had the great stamp of approval gratefully and very thankfully given, and have been led to the slaughterhouse of deceit. If we are docile and adhere to your rules, we are petted and pampered. But beware, do not become the lion, for the jackal shall join as one and consume you. We who were once so innocent are forced into a life of deceit. No longer can we go naked, but must don the clothing of shame. The elders bitterly but humbly come into this society, knowing there is no love or peace as they once knew. Instead, theirs is a lonely existence with a bittersweet dream of the past, dreams of the hunt faded by a force of no understanding, praying to a new god, hoping for a happier life in another world. Our young come from the villages with the innocence of a child, wanting and demanding the respect to explore the adventures of a new world, finding instead innocence detrimental, the bottle of horrible bliss. We who were first into this land with the finality have paid a very dear price for the brief moment of contentment. Our brothers to the south have over 350 documented treaties with the federal government, and each has been broken with a final cunning. I too have read my wounded knee. The only promise the federal government has kept is possession of our land, so I should die as an Inukbak trust you. We are offered concessions for our land, concessions we dare not refuse, and each time we are offered, you take more and more. With the reduction of our land, a little of us as a people fades away. You consume us with your easy ways, your words of deceptive, legalistic slaughter, confusing us with a new word. The Inuit of Greenland could not put a word to your being. Their definition of you was one undefined. When your buildings are built, the land is of no use forever. The animals flee and the plants no longer grow. How do you expect us as a people to survive this greed which consumes you? Don't hate me for my words. Instead, come and truly show us the way of living with you. For you have taught us a new religion, a religion which demands this. Often I have wondered, are these harsh words? But history has thus been written, and with a sleight of hand, the deck of cards has been dealt in your favor. Bitter bile absorbing through his stomach, an ache never leaving my father would curse the man who had sired him, knowing through my mother's womb the country had cursed yet another generation after him. My mother was forced by the death of my father into a life of deadly calm, living off a land of plenty, not knowing the price of this easy life until near death. And I do thank God for the innocence my mother possessed. Why do you force yourselves upon us? You have taken from the surface and from under. You can have your riches, just leave us with our dignity. These riches you possess only for a while. You shall be consumed with an endless dread for this land you have raped. Yet you shall search for another advantage, baffling yet another generation of historians. Family as it once was has been lost through the advantages of your education. No longer does a parent teach his ward the humanities. Instead, society is the deceptive instructor. In the churches, the love of word has replaced the love of fellow man. No longer can we simply call each other brother. Instead, we pay tribute to riches and to power. I have tried on many occasions to cross over this ethnic barrier, and always I have been repulsed. The river is too swift and the porges too few. Your laws are in beautiful leather-bound books, revered almost as a god. But so many laws are a sign of weakness and not of strength. Laws are meant for the benefit of the peoples. They are words to be understood by all. Instead, law is as a puzzle with missing pieces never to be found. For a day and a half you have come, and you are going to do research on what is going to happen in 1991. Is a day and a half enough time to lay a foundation for such a huge responsibility? Come and look at us as we really are, in our home, at work, study our local governments, travel the rivers and the coastlines, share in our tragedies and our laughter, eat our food and watch our children mature, then tell us we would like to help you.
Thank you very much. Mary? Mary? Could we have the written testimony? Thank you very much, sir.
My name is Alan Susak. I'm born and raised in Unalakleet. I've lived most of my life right here in Unalakleet. And I want to take these things off because they're not a natural part of me. They make me feel very uncomfortable. The glasses might make me see a little bit better, but still they're very uncomfortable. The hearing aid might make me hear a little better, but it's still very uncomfortable because they are not part of my body. Sometimes I think of the Land Claims Act as something like this that makes my whole being very uncomfortable. I could remember the birth of the Land Claim Settlement Act. It began right here in Unalakleet by a man named Frank Degnan. He was mentioned here. Some of the family members were here last night. The time when this began was after a proclamation by the late President Roosevelt, whereas he proclaimed in very fine print that we, the native Aborigines, the original peoples of this great land, were to submit our claims. Now we were given only a very few short years, now or forever, be quieted down, never to have a voice. And so a move was made by Frank Degnan to do just such, and the man labored. He labored very much. It was mentioned last night that he came and moved here. It was in 1937. When he came, this is what he used to say: when I came to Unalakleet, I saw a local form of government that was made up of our own people. They had organized into a seat of authority. It was a form of government that I have been wanting to see. For he said, I have chosen to become my mother's people. He says, my daddy was a white man. I could have chose to be a white man and live the life that he lives. But because of the poverty conditions of my mother and my people, I chose to live a life of Eskimo, and he did. And he labored and became a hated man right here in Unalakleet because his leadership ability was beginning to be felt by the people who up to that time were a seat of authority. They were the preachers, teachers, and the traders. What they say went because they had authority, they had money. We didn't. And when Frank saw the type of government that was exercised by our people, I felt real good, and I sat back and listened. Along came World War II, after December 7, 1941, when the whole nation went on alert and up in arms and went to war. A move up until this time had been organized by the local people who had formed a city government, a traditional government, and they had formed a native store of their own. They labored with their bare hands. They went up the river and got logs. The women folks and the children went to the tundra and to the hillsides and got moss so that the house would, so that the building would be insulated. And they did all of this with no pay, not even 1 cent coming. But they were promised that if you build a store, it will be yours. You will get paid. You will benefit from it. And they are still waiting to be benefited. Now, when Frank became a man, began to show his leadership ability, it was after a move by the preachers, teachers, and the traders. The teachers were the government people. The preachers were of the local, the only church that there is here up until then was the Covenant Church. And the trader was a man by the name of Traeger. Mr. Traeger had begun to feel the loss of business when the local people put up a native store. And so they thought among themselves the best thing to do is to close down the native store for the duration of the war. This is the time, as Frank says, I went in. Then I told the people, this is the time to stay open. This is the time to stock up the store. Stock it chock full so that in case of shipping curtailment, we will have food in the stores, because by this time we were being introduced into a mixed economy. We were beginning to see more and more dollars. Mostly they were nickels and dimes and quarters, but we were beginning to see more and more of the cash economy come our way. And so he convinced these leaders that they should, and they stuck together and they kept it open, and it is still open. Now when his leadership ability began to be felt by these people who were the source of authority, the preachers, teachers, and the traders, an anti-opinion against Mr. Dignan began to be given to the people, not by word of mouth among the people, but where the people went to most, where most everybody went to, was a local church. The ministers and the pastors then, at that time, began to speak very strongly against Frank Dignan, using this as an excuse, using this as a reason. He is a Catholic. Why should you bow down to a Catholic? He is not a God. He is your God, they were telling us. But Frank was laboring and saying these things, that someday we will be able to hold the seats that these people are holding. You have the right under the American government flag. If the American can have the best that the land can offer, so can you. These were the rights he told us that belonged to us. But much of the rights that the American citizenry enjoys are not too much among us. Now the man's labor was so hard and so strenuous, and he had become a hated man among my own people. There were just a handful of people who stood by him. I chose to stand by him. Though I knew that the local opinion would be very strong against me, I chose to stand by him because I knew what he was saying was right. You, as an American citizen, have the right to your land. You have the right to the food that the land gives. You have the right to produce what the land will produce. You have the right for the mineral, the riches that this land has, because God put you here for you to have and to hold. But up to the present time, when I think of these rights that were not benefiting us, I would think of what happened to the people before during the gold rush time. When the gold miners, gold seekers came to this land and to Nome, and from the under the very souls of the people of the Nome district, they took out billions and billions and billions of dollars worth of gold and took it out and took it away and enjoyed and built cities such as San Francisco and the like. And my people were left destitute, and their condition has not changed very much. Now, the leadership of Frank was to this extreme. The man was tried to be thrown into jail. At one time, a man with the cover of the darkness, with a loaded rifle, got a gun to try to get a bead at him, but he was kept from within the sight of the rifle. Another time, when a man went berserk here in Unalakleet, when everybody else went into their homes, and the man, the single man, had everything under absolute control, because with him he had a fully loaded 30-30 caliber rifle, and he had shot at a government teacher. And he was looking for someone else to shoot, but by this time the people had disappeared into the safety of their homes. Upon hearing...